are approaching fall time, and I guess it's the time when people start watching a lot of new shows, get into new movies, blah, blah, blah.
I did not know that.
I do. So, yeah, that was our thinking for this episode.
We are both TV addicts, and that I feel like we have seen, not every, but a large handful of so many different genres of shows and movies and all of that. So we wanted to compile a list of different shows and films, mostly shows, for people who feel like, oh, I've seen everything, or there's nothing left for me to watch. It's just some more niche, more hidden gem kind of stuff that you might not have seen before, but you would want to see.
Yeah, because usually when I look for recommendations, either online or on TikTok, it's always the same things. Like, if you look at fall recommendations, it's always Gilmore Girls. There's not one person who makes the list without Gilmore Girls included. So I feel like I just want more things, you know? I want a larger variety, because there's so many shows and movies out there that are just not mentioned. I feel like they should be.
That's me when I'm looking for sitcoms or stuff like that, and they always just say, like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Modern Family, and it's all, like, the really big ones, and there's nothing else. And what if you've seen it all? What do you do then?
Yeah, exactly. So I hope that this list has some recommendations for, like, a lot of different people, because we went over so many different genres, except for horror, because I guess none of us really watch a lot of that. So I hope you find something, like, specific.
Yeah, we're going through rom-coms, historical fiction, sci-fi or dystopian,
fantasy.
Go ahead.
No,
take it from here.
No, I just remember fantasy, so okay. Everyone's chiming for that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wholesome, not like low stress, just really comfy kid like shows, comedy, action, mystery, case solving, drama,
and thriller.
Yeah,
you say that last one for me.
Yeah.
So I hope you find one genre you like out of this list and take a few recommendations. We tried to be really nitty gritty with it because it's just based on our personal watching experience. So hopefully, you find something you like.
We don't really have any other movies on this list except for romantic comedies.
Yeah.
It is what it is. So we're going to start off with the movies. First, we have Chasing Liberty from 2004. And it is kind of like First Daughter, which you introduced me to and I really loved. But it's basically focusing on Mandy Moore as the president's daughter. And then she ends up meeting this guy who she kind of goes away for because she wants to live a life away from the cameras and public life and whatever, and it turns out he's actually working for the Secret Service. And I really like this one. I feel like it was just like cheesy, feel-good romantic comedy.
Yeah, so we kind of did a movie exchange with this one, because I told you about First Daughter, and then you told me about Chasing Liberty, because they both had kind of like the same plots, but just in different genres, I guess.
They came out around the same time too, so I wonder.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really weird coincidence.
I agree. It's a pretty unique plot too. Like, very specific. But anyways, I love Chasing Liberty. Especially, I love seeing Mandy Moore in romantic movies. It was a really good time. But, yeah, I really liked the recommendation. And I thought it was a pretty cute movie. I could just watch mindlessly, and I watched it in one night. So, I'm glad we introduced each other to these movies. Yeah. Anyways. Next up on the list is an Amazon Prime movie that we both watched. It was Rosaline.
Wait, was it Hulu or Amazon Prime?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
I think I watched it on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah, Disney Plus. It seems like an Amazon Prime show, though, for some reason.
Oh, I get it. If it's the vibe, right?
Yeah, that's why. Yeah. Anyways, it came out in 2022, so pretty recently. And it's based off of Romeo and Juliet, loosely. So it's, if you remember, in the play, there's a cousin of Juliet called Rosaline that Romeo originally goes out with before he gives her up for Juliet, because he's just so entranced by Juliet. And Rosaline is just kind of forgotten about because she's only a mild part in Romeo's little monologue to his friend. And then in this show, it kind of shows her and her moving on from Romeo into meeting somebody else. And it's really cute, I would say. I love the idea for it.
I like that it kind of does a bit of a satire, like it makes fun of the whole plot of Romeo and Juliet, because we see Rosaline intervene with moments that happened in the play, and she just injects some common sense into everyone's heads.
She's a very reasonable girl, I would give her that. Yeah. Yes. So it was a really fun movie, I think.
I feel like this movie gives out the same vibes as, we'll talk about this later too, but The Great. Like, I feel like in terms of humor and in terms of it being set in a much, like, older time range, but still having a lot of modern day humor, but it's, like, well adapted. I like that a lot.
And we also didn't mention in this list, because it's kind of popular now, but it, to me, it has the same vibes as My Lady Jane. It's, like, the same kind of humor going on as well, and kind of chemistry going on. So, yeah, I would rate them appropriately in that list.
Next one is What a Girl Wants from 2003, starring the queen of 2000 rom-coms, Amanda Bynes. You watched this when you were really young?
Yeah, pretty young. I saw it on Netflix, and me and my friend were watching movies at the time. So, it was like a movie night, and then we found the movie, and we both thought we should watch it. And I also loved seeing Amanda Bynes on movies, so yeah, I just clicked on it instantly.
So basically, Amanda Bynes is this girl who ends up going to England because she finds out that her father is this very esteemed, what is he, like a lord? Like, he's some sort of esteemed public figure.
Yeah, he's like a lot of property too.
And then when she goes there, he has a wife and stepdaughters who really do not like her. So it does have a bit of a Cinderella, not entirely, but some like similarities to that.
Yeah, and she ends up meeting this guy from a band who tries to keep her grounded, I guess. But then she ends up going off on her own different journey to the, you know, into her. Because it's a whole new world for her, right?
Upper society.
Yeah, upper society. That was a good way to put it. And then he tries to, like, pull a, oh, you need to come back to, you know, being you. This isn't who you are, blah, blah, blah. And then they end up together at the end.
You probably shouldn't spoil it, though. But that's common sense,
oh, yeah. But anyways, it was a very cute movie, I would say. I'm saying that for all of these, but this was, like, very fun to watch.
I liked her outfits in this movie. I thought they were really nice.
Me too, yeah. I was really inspired. And I liked the whole aesthetic that it had, too. Okay, the next one is a movie that I've watched, so Santa doesn't know about, but I told her about this. And I think you should watch this.
I think it's just, like, The Parent Trap, but a little different.
Yeah, it pretty much is, honestly. So it came out in 1995, and the stars the Olsen twins. And the reason I watched it is because it had the Olsen twins in it, because I was a huge fan of Full House. So I was looking at their shows and movies, and then I saw It Takes Two. So I clicked on it, and then I really liked the plot. It's basically about these two little girls that are in different worlds. One of them is, like, a very upper-class world. Her dad is, very rich. And then the other one is, like, in an orphanage. And somehow the upper-class girl comes into the area where the orphanage is. I think it's not a camp like the family, like the Parent Trap, but they somehow meet, and then they find out that they're related. So they pull a parent trap, and they switch. And their parents, well, the little girl doesn't have parents, but nobody knows about the switch. And it's basically just watching them explore the different worlds. And so it's really funny, I think. They're also very little in this. So it's a family, wholesome kind of movie.
How old are they? Tweens? Like, little kids?
Pretty much the same age as Michelle in Full House.
Oh, okay.
Like, toddler.
Toddler?
Maybe, like, 10 years old.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
9 years old? Yeah. So, I really like this. It is very similar to The Parent Trap, but I still recommend watching it.
Didn't they have another movie that was kind of popular? Like, A New York Minute or something?
Oh, I mean,
haven't seen it, though.
It had bad ratings, but it was, like, it was popular in the sense that it was, like, infamous. But, yeah. I also kind of watched that briefly.
Did you like it?
It was very stereotypical, but it was, like, a fun movie I would have enjoyed when I was younger. Anyways, I really recommend It Takes Two because I watched it, like, 2 times in a row once. It was so fun to watch and engaging, I just like to say. So you should watch two.
Okay, I will. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
This last one for romantic comedy movies is something that we both watched a couple months ago. It's called Upgraded, and it stars Camila Mendes, and then the guy from Shadow and Bone who plays Mal. I'm so sorry, I forgot his name. I think it's Archie. It's Archie something.
Oh.
I forgot, but he plays Mal in Shadow and Bone. And I think I really like the plot of this. Like, I feel like it isn't super conventional, per se.
Yeah. It's a wild ride, though, from the girl. Because she starts off as this art... I don't know what her role is.
She's like it's not a very like high ranking job fashion world.
But she's basically like, she's in charge of selling paintings, I think. I could be wrong about that. But she ends up meeting this one guy whose family is very rich, I think you would say, and has a lot of influence. And she pretends to be someone she is not.
And they meet because she gets upgraded to first class. She pretends to be a lot more richer and a lot more... She pretends to be, I think, the head of the company she's working for.
Yes, so basically her own boss. And so she goes into this whole web of lies with his family. And then you as the audience feel really awkward, I think, because we felt quite anxious.
I think we were texting each other because we were like, is she really doing this? Is this really happening? I can't believe we had a lot of thoughts.
Yeah, I was quite stressed for her, because I don't know why anyone would be lying about all these things.
Up until that very last minute of the movie, like, for the entire film, I was just always not expecting what was happening.
Yeah, pretty much. But it was a nice show, I think. Very, very unique, I would say, in its own way. Nice spin on rom-coms.
We only have one show for, like, romantic comedy shows.
Oh, wait, this is not supposed to be... This is not a romantic comedy show.
Okay. Okay. Our mistake, we don't have any romantic comedy shows. That was a mistake in organization. Okay, so we fixed that mistake. Moving on.
To a completely different genre, and it is the historical fiction genre, which we only have shows for from this point on, so... Okay, starting off, this is a show that I think I watched first, but then... I didn't watch the new season, and then you watched a bit later on, but then you finished the whole thing. And then I still need to watch the new season 4.
Are you proud of me for finishing the show?
I am, but it's only like 3 seasons, so I don't know how I feel about that.
You're right.
Anyways, this show is called The Great, and it came out in 2020. And I think this is one of my first historical fiction shows that I actually watched. And I really liked it, because... It basically is around a historical figure called Catherine the Great and Peter, whatever his name is. That's all I know, really. But basically, he's like a king, and he ends up having her as his wife. They don't really meet, but it's kind of a blind marriage kind of deal. And so when they meet, she finds out that he's kind of a horrible person. And she really doesn't like him. And then show starts off with her and her maid actually talking about how like horrible he is, blah, blah, blah. And then they start getting the idea of killing him, which is not a spoiler. It's like the first episode or second one. So they talk about dethroning him and having a whole revolution, blah, blah, blah. So it's a very interesting show. It keeps you on your toes, for sure.
I like that. Kind of similar to Rob's line. Even though a lot of the costuming and all of that, it is meant to be during a certain time period, a lot of the humor and the way they talk, it's a lot like modern day, and it's really fun.
Yeah, there's a word for that, but I forgot. It's out of place.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I learned it in English class, but whatever. We'll find that later. Anyway, I like that too. It's easy to follow along with as well. I think if it were more... older English dialogue, I probably would not be able to understand it as well.
And some like wild things happen. Like you're like, oh whoa, okay, we're doing this.
Especially as you get further into the season. But yeah, I would say this is a really great show to watch.
Peter and Captain's relationship is very, very interesting.
For sure. It starts off really toxic though, I would say. He's a really bad person. Really horrible.
And she like is planning to overthrow him, so there's not a lot of love lost there.
So she's pretty much pretending for the majority of the time, to like, oh, hi, I'm just your loving wife, and then she watches him do all these horrible things and mistreat his citizens. So, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic between the two of them, I would say. But overall, a good show to watch.
I'm really sad that it got canceled, season 4.
All the good shows do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what can you do? The next one is Medici, which came out in 2016. And it focuses on this very powerful family called the Medici family, who I believe were a very powerful force in Italy in the 15th or 16th centuries. The reason I watched it was because, what's his name? The guy who played Robb Stark in Game of Thrones, he was in it. What's his name? Okay, well, whatever. The guy who plays Robb Stark, he was in it. And I thought it was really interesting. I think the first couple episodes are kind of boring. Like, they're really slow. But once you get into it, it is very interesting to see all these different dynamics and all these different, like, power controls at play. But I think this one definitely, if you like more slower shows, it's not really much on, like, humor or action. It's more like dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Is it, like, what is it about other than just, like, what does the family do?
It's about, like, the rise and fall of the family. So, there's a lot of different, like, powerful people in this family, and it's kind of talking about, like, it's very much about, like, the political side, if that makes sense. Like, everything is really, like, political. So, it's, like, really slow. Like, if you like really slow, really chill shows, you would watch this.
I like that. Yeah. I would like to see this show. I've heard a lot of good reviews about it, too.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, the next one is Hollywood, which came out in 2020. I think it's a Netflix original. It's a limited series, so it only has 7 episodes, but I thought it was really interesting. It talks about, like, the coming of age Hollywood era, like, back in the 1920s to the 1940s, like, that kind of era. And it has Blaine from Glee.
Oh, okay.
And
Darren Criss.
Yes, Darren Criss. And a bunch of other people. And I thought it was really interesting because they talk about trying to get a spot as an actor was really difficult. But then being a minority is even more difficult. And then talks about a lot of struggles with that. So I thought that was really interesting.
I feel like that's a really good, interesting series to watch. Especially because it shows, I guess, a lot of the factors that you don't really take into account when you think about that era. I really want to watch the show. When you described it, I thought it was my kind of show, so,
Thank you. I think you'll like it. I thought it was really interesting, too. They talk about, like, being biracial and then, like, not looking necessarily, like, the more discriminated against part of your identity.
Mm. Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
Yeah, like, yeah. Blaine, Darren's character, I think he is part, like, white and part Asian. And then he talks about how he is able to pass as white, so there's a lot of ways he gets off, like, he is seen in a much better light than a lot of his other people who are not able to pass, like he does.
I know that. Interesting. Oh, wow.
The next one.
So the next one is a series on Apple TV called The New Look, and it came out on 2024. So this is not as far back as the other historical fiction shows we talked about. It doesn't go that far back. It's set during World War II. And it's a really interesting series. It's about, It's about Christian Dior and his family. And he had this sister that was really involved in the French Revolution. So, during the time, like, it's set in France, World War II, Paris. And in that time, the Nazis were taking over. So, anyone who, like, spoke out against them would be, they went away to the prison of war camps, right? And his sister was very involved in those French resistance groups. So it was a very dangerous time for them. And he kept trying to, like, get her out of it, and he didn't want his sister to, go away and be taken away prisoner. So he tried to convince her against that, but then she was, like, very insistent. And she was also, her boyfriend, he was also involved in this kind of French resistance group. So it's basically about how he becomes so successful through that era of hardship. So he starts off with working under another famous fashion designer, and then he has his own designs. He has a lot of beautiful designs that are starting to kind of take off. And then in that time, he's struggling financially because It's obviously a very hard time if you're in France, Nazi led France. And there's a whole segment of Chanel as well, because as some people may not know, she was a Nazi sympathizer, right? So she was dating this Nazi person. And so people didn't know that. And it's really interesting. So they basically, nobody knows that Coco Chanel is in that kind of position, right? And she uses that to get a lot of places and helps her Nazi boyfriend.
Oh.
And then she tries to get a meeting set up with the British Prime Minister. So,
you know, Churchill?
Yeah, because she was childhood friends with him. So basically, she uses all of those advantages to her, you know, for her Nazi boyfriend.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, and then you watch this whole series going through a lot of different, I guess, nerve-wracking moments, because you want to see how Christian Dior's sister is turning out, and then she does get taken prisoner at one point, and it's really scary at some times. But it's also really interesting seeing the whole story play out. And I really didn't know how hard it was for him that time.
Well, that's really interesting. I think I will check this out. You've convinced me.
That's great, because I love the show and I didn't hear anyone talking about it. So yeah, it's definitely an interesting show you should check out.
The next one is Selena the Series on Netflix from I think it came out in 2020. I hope I'm saying this correctly. It's about the famous singer Selena Quintanilla. I don't think I'm saying this right. I'm so sorry. But it's basically about her and her life throughout the 70s, 80s, 90s. And it focuses on the life of the singer from her childhood to her eventual murder by this woman who worked for her. But yeah, I think she was a cleaner. It was by a cleaner, I believe. Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh, wait, I thought she got murdered by a man.
No, it was a woman.
Oh, okay. And is it like more of a documentary? Or
it is more, it does try to be as close to her life as possible, but they do take creative liberties. So there's a lot of stuff that was speculated on that they kind of ran with. And a lot of stuff they made up. So I wouldn't take it to be complete factual truth.
I see. How far back is it then?
Like 70s, 80s, 90s. Like it starts from her childhood to her, her death. But it's really interesting. It talks about it shows a lot of different parts of her life and her family and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the last one for this section is The Empress, which came out in 2022. And it's about Elizabeth, or I guess, like, I think in the show she's called Cece. And she ends up marrying the Emperor of Austria, Franz Joseph. And then it kind of talks about her struggle with that, with, like, adjusting to that life. Because, like, they thought that her sister was more eligible because her sister had a lot more of the typical qualities that they thought the emperor would want. But then the emperor ended up falling in love with Cece instead. So when they get married, there's a lot of stuff that comes up because Cece is very independent. And she doesn't want to necessarily conform to
She's very carefree, right?
Yeah, she doesn't want to necessarily conform to what the empress should be considered to be by society. And in some ways that had made her loved by the public. And in other ways, she got a lot of
scrutiny
for it. I don't know if they're coming out with a second season, because the first season has 6 episodes and it does end on a bit of a cliffhanger, but I genuinely don't know if they're coming out with a second season.
I only watched the first few episodes. I don't know why, but I need to finish the rest of it. I thought the first few were really interesting, but I heard a lot of dark facts about her personal life after I saw the show too.
Me too.
Yeah. And this is like very close to World War II time, right? Or like a few generations after.
I think so, yeah.
Or World War I, yeah.
Yeah, World War I.
Yeah, not World War II, yeah.
Moving on from Timeless, we have a show that is actually an adaptation of a book we had to read for English class. Station 11.
Yeah, and I read the book for this one. So it was a really wild ride, I will say. At times, I was really confused. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And there's just so many different plot lines. So basically, it's set in a dystopian type of future where it's really a depressing kind of future. There's, I don't know how to explain it. It's so hard to explain. Basically, there's a lot of different groups of people together because no one wants to be alone, right? But it's dangerous times. There's a lot of, like, scavengers / thieves that will, like, I guess if you're alone, they'll just take all you have. And everyone's basically pitted against each other. And there's just, like, they're all fighting for scraps, pretty much, because there's not a lot left. And you follow this group of theater reenactors, I think you would call them. And they travel across the place, basically. And you meet a lot of different people, too. There's so many perspectives in this book. So it shows what happens before the big, I guess, disease that pretty much killed off a lot of the population, and then what happens afterwards with all the survivors. So, yeah, I it's a very hard plot to describe, but there's a show based off it. I think the show makes it easier to understand the content, because while I was reading the book, I was just really lost. And it was really interesting, I think, but I was finding it hard to understand with all the different perspectives from different people going on. And then you find out how they all are connected to each other at the end. And it's a really pretty fascinating book, I would say, because it has a lot of new concepts that it explores. So I would recommend watching the show because it is easier to understand. And yeah.
Moving on, we have a bunch for fantasy. I think these are all you, Parmenas. This is your moment of...
Wait, you're right. Why is this all me?
Because you have, like, all the best recommendations.
Okay, so, starting off, we have Merlin. This is one of my favorite shows of all time. I watched it when I was pretty young, and it's after the warlock Merlin from the Arthurian legends. And so you follow him as he's going into Camelot as somebody who is going off from, like, a faraway, distant rural village into the big city, which is Camelot. And his mother is, his mother sends him off to Gaius, who looks after him. And he basically teaches him to control his magic. But at the same time, he meets Arthur, who is a prince, right? And Arthur is kind of, like, really arrogant at the start. Actually, throughout the entire series. But they meet each other, and they kind of, like, he's like, oh, where do you get off being so arrogant? You don't get to treat people this way. And he's like, actually, I do get to treat people this way. I'm the prince. Who do you think you're talking to? And then Merlin ends up getting, like, potatoes thrown on him, because Arthur has a lot of influence, right? And he ends up saving Arthur's life, because he has magic. So, after that, Uther, who is Arthur's, father and the king of Camelot, he hires Merlin as Arthur's personal servant, and they end up becoming pretty close. They have a bromance kind of relationship, and he basically saves him a bunch of times, Merlin, and Arthur doesn't know about magic, because in this kind of world, magic is outlawed, so he doesn't know that Merlin has the magic, because he's supposed to hide it. And I think this is, like, one of the first shows that made me fall in love with fantasy. It's really, like, there's so many good character dynamics, and the CGI was really bad, but you don't notice it as a kid, and it's not really important. Yeah, I think this is a really great show.
I've heard some really good stuff about this. I know so many people who love the show.
Yeah, it's one that I watched, like, so many times, rewatch, and I will never get bored of it.
Can I be honest? I've heard about, like, Merlin and Arthur on social media, and it seems like a lot of people wanted them to, like, get together. So for the longest time, I thought that Merlin and Arthur do get together at the end, and this was the story of their, you know, coming together. And then I learned that this is not canon, and that never happens, and I was like, what? Hold on.
Yeah, I think it was just never really heading in that direction, because I don't think it was allowed for them to do that at the time, especially because it was more of a kid's show, so I don't think the producers would have allowed it.
Oh, it's a kid's show? I thought it was just,
no, like, it's a kid's show.
Oh, like, fully?
It's like TVPG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, so I don't think they would have allowed it, especially because it was earlier in time. Yeah. You enjoy the relationship a lot, though. They have a lot of witty humor, I will say. Yeah. There's a bunch of times where Nolan turns into this, like, old character to prevent people from knowing who he is. It's really funny.
That sounds really funny.
Yeah.
Is Guinevere also in it?
Yeah, she is. She and Merlin kind of have a thing in the beginning. But that ends up leading to nothing. So, yeah. And, oh, Merlin also meets the Lady of the Lake. And they have a thing. And it's really sweet. But, yeah. Yeah. Anyways, it's really nice. Because you kind of loosely get details of the Arthurian legends without getting too deep into it. Since it really is complex. Yeah. I recommend it.
I really want to watch it.
You should. I've been recommending it to you for a while.
I'm so sorry. So there's so many seasons. It's a lot to commit to.
It's only five.
That's so much.
Anyways, the next... Oh, and I should mention, this was released in 2008. The next one is a spin-off of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And it's called Angel. So it's based off the character Angel. And he goes on to make this his own crime-solving protection services company. And there's a few of the old characters that come off the show as well. Cordelia Chase is one of them, and she joins him because they're both in Los Angeles, basically, and they meet up, and then she ends up organizing the whole company, making cards, getting the invoices, charging services.
Whoa!
Which she makes him do. He didn't want to charge services in the first place. And there's a new character as well, Doyle, and he's basically this Irish man who gets visions of people in trouble, and then he and Angel and Cordelia all work together to help them before something bad happens. And, yeah, I think this is a really nice version of the show we see, because I didn't like Angel before in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I thought he was just a brooding character, but this show shows a more complex, I guess, funnier side of him. And I liked seeing some of the characters come back.
How many seasons does this show have?
This has either 6 or 7. Yeah. And, yeah, I think I would change a few things about the show, personally, but it's a really good show if you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or other vampire kind of shows. And this was released in 1999, but it ended in, like, 2004, so it was going on for a while.
Did it end... Like, did they start it while Buffy was still airing, or did it start after Buffy ended?
That's a good question. The first season of the show started, I think, in season 3 of Buffy.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, but then the fifth season of the show starts off and where Buffy ends off. Yeah. So it spans a lot of different time periods. Anyways, I like the show a lot, and I recommend it for Buffy fans. Or they're just vampire show fans in general.
When I finish Buffy's, I will get to this.
If you do.
Okay. Very shady.
And, okay, the next one that I'm going to talk about is one that I watched when I was very young. It was released in 2018. And it's called The New Legends of Monkey. And it's basically based on this Japanese show or movie that was set very long ago. And they kind of revive it. It's based off of this girl who reawakens the Monkey King. And he has a lot of power. And they go on a series of quests to find these 7 scrolls, which are really important. And I think that this is a show that has, like, a lot of action. And it's, as a kid, it was fun seeing all the CGI effects. So I thought it was really interesting. Pretty, like, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. So that's why I liked it. And I don't know if I would like watch it now, just because it was more set for a younger audience, but this is a pretty unique show that I didn't really hear anyone talking about it, so I thought I would mention it. And to end off, I have Legend of Korra, and this was released in 2012. So this is based off of Avatar, but it's a spin-off, and it shows another Avatar who is Korra. And I don't like seeing all these people hating on Korra just because she's not Aang. And so basically it shows how she pretty much masters all of the elements and at a very young age. And she's like really strong, right? She's a very strong character. She goes through a lot of the same problems that Aang did through a lot of different villains. And I think that this is a great spinoff. I love seeing a female lead as an Avatar, and I like seeing all her, I guess, relationships with new characters. So, yeah, I think this is a very great show. I watched it when I was pretty young, but I still rewatch it sometimes.
If I ever finish Avatar The Last Airbender, I will check this out.
Did you even start it?
I watched one episode.
Okay, Sena. Okay. Yeah, that is it for my fantasy list.
The next is our wholesome, low-stress, comfy shows. They're not necessarily geared towards, like, a lot of older audiences. I feel like it is a lot more PG, G-rated stuff. That's just really fun and chill to watch. Very low stress. So the first one is No Good Nick from 2019. I think this is definitely for kind of a younger audience. I would say, like,
tweens.
But I think it is really fun. It's about this girl named Nick who has been raised... Well, basically, she and her dad, they used to have a restaurant together. But then this other family ends up running them out of business, and that ends up going to jail. And then while he's in jail, she ends up going through a lot of, like, foster systems. And then she ends up working for this one couple. So she pretends to be the relative of the family who ruined her and her dad's restaurant and just kind of lives with them and is planning to, at some point, once she has enough information, basically ruin their lives as revenge. But she ends up really caring about the family members, and there's a lot of stuff that happens.
Yeah, I found, like, this is one of the more grown-up shows that I was watching as a tween, and I thought it was really fun seeing everything. And I loved Nick.
I wish it was longer, though. It was only two parts, I think. I wish it was longer.
I really agree. I wish they still kept it coming. But, yeah, it was a great series. The next one is...
Go on, horse girl.
So, this is called Free Reign. It was released in 2017. And it's about a girl, Zoe, who ends up going into... I don't know. She ends up going from the city to a rural area.
Was it like her grandfather's farm or something like that?
Yeah. I forgot why she moved. But she sees these like mean girls in her first day there. And then she's kind of discouraged about staying there. But then she also meets a lot of interesting people. And she got some new friends there. And she ends up basically choosing a horse herself. And the horse is called Raven, and Raven is kind of an out-of-control horse, but she's the only one who can control him. So they end up having a really special relationship, and it takes off from there. And I thought this was really interesting because it had a lot of plot twists that I was not expecting. Like, there's so many crazy aspects of the show. I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, you don't expect a lot of things that happen here.
My sister was a really big fan of the show, so sometimes I would watch episodes with her. So I haven't seen the whole show, but I know little snippets. I just remember this one guy. I think his name was Puck or something.
Yeah.
He always looked really annoyed with everyone. And he ended up being in Shadow and Bone, like the Netflix show, as Cass, I think. So
is that a fitting role then?
I don't know. I think Cass is very angsty. But then Puck, he just always looks like he sucked lemon. You know, like he... Not in a mean way. He just has... Cause I think as a character, he's you know, a bit,
broody?
Broody, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see what you mean. Yeah, he's also a main character. Yeah. Anyways, I enjoyed the show a lot as a kid. I don't know if I would rewatch now, but it was a very fun show. There was also, like, a Christmas special and a few Valentine specials that I watched.
I think the show was pretty successful, right? Because I feel like it got a lot of,
yeah, it really
like,
did.
Spin-offs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one is a Spanish show that I watched as a kid, and it's called Go Live Your Way. It was released in 2019, and it's based off of this girl called Mia who gets a scholarship to go to this really artsy school, and she auditions for it because she's really good at dancing, and she gets in, but then there's this really mean girl who doesn't like Mia. And she ends up falling for this guy who the mean girl likes. But then there's also this guitar boy who likes her, so it's a love triangle. And then It's a really complicated, a lot of complicated relationships going on there. But I thought this was one of the most entertaining shows as a kid. There's always something going on there. Like, you really don't know what to expect with the show. And I watched it in English, but yeah, I think, oh, the songs were still in Spanish, so that was fun to see. There were a lot of songs. They had a lot of duets, some solos going on. Yeah.
Was the music good?
I liked it a lot. I was really invested into the music, actually. But yeah, I liked seeing that.
The last one for this one is The Lodge, which came out in 2016. And I think it's a Disney Channel show. But basically, it's about this girl, Skye. And she and her dad end up going back to the Lodge, which is this hotel that her mom's family used to own. They end up going back to the town where the mom was from. The mom is like, I think she passed away. So when Skye ends up going there, she and her dad face a lot of troubles in like running the lodge. And then also in terms of friendship, she befriends, she has like, okay, so basically there's this one guy and he's Thomas Daugherty. I don't remember what his character's name is. And he was the guy who plays Hook and Descendants. And they had another guy and it was Colin from Bridgerton. I don't know his actor's name. I think it's like Luke something. And while they have this love triangle going on, there's also a lot of other stuff going on because there's like, I believe there's some sort of like hidden treasure or something. I don't really remember entirely, but The Lodge was a very entertaining show, mostly because of the different friendships and relationships. And it left on a cliffhanger and got canceled, so I'm quite annoyed about that.
I've never heard of this Disney Channel show. I'm surprised.
I think it was more popular in the UK.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's set in the I could be wrong, but I think it's set in the UK.
Moving on to the comedy category.
Okay, so there's The Rookie, which came out in 2018, and I think its seventh season came out this year. And it's basically about this guy who, basically he helped the police with this, like, burglary or something. And then this, like, 6 months later, he ends up going to LA to become a police officer at the LAPD because he had like a very late career switch and he's the oldest rookie to ever be in the corps, which is why the show is called The Rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't think it's like necessarily super high stakes, but it's just about him, all the obstacles he faces and as he's kind of rising the police force and with his team and stuff like that. So I think it's a really fun like workplace sitcom.
I don't think this is necessarily popular, but it has a large fan base. Like, a lot of people are invested in the show.
Yes, I've heard a lot about Lucy Chen and someone else whose name ends with Ford.
Oh, okay. Is that the actor's names? Or?
I think it's the character's names.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, like, Bradford or something like that. But I watched a little bit, and I liked it.
This is one of the shows on my list, so I want to get to it eventually.
Next one is American Housewife, which came out in 2016. I think it ran for 2 or 3 seasons. And I like it a lot. It's a sitcom, and it's kind of basing around the whole all-American family. But this family is really toxic and kind of crazy. It has, obviously, like the mom is kind of the main character. And then we have her husband and her 2 daughters. Her oldest daughter is often, like, disregarded in favor of the younger daughter, Anna Kat. And Anna Kat is a bit of a monster. But, yeah. And I think it's just really interesting to see those dynamics. The girl from Zombies, who plays Addison, she plays the older daughter, and I think she brought on the guy who played Zed from Zombies in a guest role on the show.
Oh, that's cool.
I feel so bad that I don't know any of their names. I keep just listing that, but it was pretty good.
Okay, I will keep that in mind. Okay, so that was all we had for comedy, and now we're going to be moving on to action. And the first one is a show called The Wild, released in 2020. And I watched it on Amazon Prime. It's basically about this group of girls who got in a plane crash and then they ended up on a stranded island. And they are basically just trying to figure out what happened, why they're there. And there's a lot of kind of creepy things, I would say, kind of going on. And they're trying to work together to get out of the island. And then they also meet a group of boys there as well. And I found it a bit scary, actually. So I guess I could go in the thriller section as well, but I think it's pretty funny. There's a lot of interesting characters in the show.
is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but is the first season mainly about the girls and the second season more about, like, a group of boys?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. I didn't fully watch it all the way, but from what, like, from the point where I got, it was really interesting. Oh, my foot is asleep.
Do you want to take a break?
No, it's fine. Okay. The next show is a Marvel show, actually. It's the longest Marvel show. It's called The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., released in 2013. And I was so into this show before I really got into any of the Marvel movies. I don't know how I got into it, but it's about this girl named Sky who's really good at computer solving related things. She's a really good hacker. And she starts off the episode by warning somebody about a threat to them. And so he doesn't start off by believing her, but then something happens and then she ends up helping him. And then she ends up getting recruited by the thing she was trying to help him from. So she ends up learning that she was kind of on the wrong side, and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recruits her. And she ends up becoming kind of a new member of it. And then she starts, like, fighting, training, blah, 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 becoming a good agent. And you kind of learn about her backstory as the show progresses. And there's a bunch of interesting facts about her, too. The show has so many plot points. I don't even know where to start with them, but it's very interesting, I think. Even if you're not a Marvel fan, because I wasn't when I watched it.
Did it end? Or is it still ongoing?
It ended. But I think it ended pretty recently. Okay, and the last show for the action kind of series is called Panic. It's also an Amazon Prime show, and it was released in 2021. It's a pretty interesting plot, so each year, there's a chance for the students in this one town to win by $50,000. And you'll have to compete in a series of events, and they don't know who started the tradition, and they don't really know, like, if it's guaranteed or anything, but they all compete for it. And I think one of the first challenges was diving off of a very large cliff into the water. And there's this girl who is the main lead, and she starts off the show with, I believe, talking about how she wants to compete in the challenge, but her friend was talking about how it wasn't, like, in her lane. She's usually not that outgoing, I think. And then she ends up being, like, one of the main people competing. So I think this was pretty interesting. I didn't see where it was going at first. Like, I didn't know the direction it was heading in. But it was really interesting seeing the challenges. If you're someone who likes, I guess, seeing a lot of the Survivor kind of types of shows, then you find this interesting. And that is it for the action category.
Okay, next we have mystery / case solving, but we only have one. We have Imposters, which came out in 2017, has two seasons. I watched this a couple years ago, and I really liked it. It died Ezra Bloom, and he is pretty rich, and he works in his family's company, and he gets married to this woman. Who he calls Ava, and so they're married, blah blah blah, and then a couple of weeks into their marriage, she suddenly leaves and takes all of his money with him.
Oh.
And then he learns that she's actually done this in the past to two other people. Two other people, Richard and Jules, and she has also pretended to be interested in them, conned, like, a whole different identity, dated them, married them, took all their money, and then, like, disappeared without a trace. So they kind of team up to go find her and figure out who she's working for. Because she's working for this guy called the Doctor with... I don't know why he's called the Doctor. But yeah, she works for him, and she has a lot of secrets. So when she sets her sight on her next target, the three of them are kind of following her and trying to figure out what's going on. And they get roped into this whole other world. The first season is really good, in my opinion. The second season, not as good, but the first season is quite good.
Wait, this isn't based on a true story, right?
I don't think so, no.
This is pretty interesting. I think I will watch it. Yeah. And I guess that's all we have for this category.
Yeah. Next is drama. And then, yeah.
Okay, drama, I'm pretty excited. There's a lot of good shows in here. So we have The Fosters, released in 2013, and it also has a spinoff that I really like called Good Girls. But starting off with The Fosters, it's about a girl named Callie who was, she was in juvie in the very first episode, and then she ends up getting temporarily fostered by a family who usually takes foster kids in and gives them a place to stay. And she ends up kind of, like, not trusting them because she had a really hard background. And she also has a little brother that she wants to look after, who's called Jude. And so she just wants to make sure that they're both together. And they do end up fostering both of them. And she basically ends up finding family in them. So it's, like, a chosen kind of family trope. And it's a really sweet series to see, I think, if you like those kind of shows, found family. Because you see her warming up to the, to her two mothers, and then you also see her interacting with the different step-siblings she has. Yeah, we also both watched this.
It was a wild ride, that's for sure. I think the Fosters had a pretty crazy plot, like we were talking about earlier. But I guess we shouldn't spoil too much, because there's so much going on.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of subplots going into it. Pretty much every single side character is important as well. Yeah, I would say it's really a good show if you are looking for some teen drama shows.
I think it has definitely a blended family, too. So there's a lot of different dynamics if you're, you're interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we can move on?
Yeah. Okay, so the next one, it was produced in 2021, and it is kind of an outlier in this whole list, because it's set in a, it's in Arabic, and it's called the Al Rawabi School for Girls. And the first season is mostly about this girl who, goes into this school. It's for girls.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And, I forgot what the first season was about. I'm remembering the second, not the first.
I kind of remember the first a little bit.
Okay.
Can I chime in just really quickly? I think it revolves around these different, there's a group of the schoolgirls, and there's this one girl who is, I believe, like a really mean bully, and she has her own little group of friends, and they start bullying this one specific girl. I remember each of them had their own side plots. Like the mean girl, she has this own secret life, and this other girl, she was trying to,
and so you get to kind of empathize, I guess, with a lot of the characters too, but
it's surprisingly dark, like,
I really didn't expect that.
Me neither.
I thought it was just like kind of a teen high school setting, you get a bit of drama, but no, it's like a lot more than
it
that.
It gets really dark.
Yeah, it's very, very dark. And
I don't know if there's much else to say. Like, just, you gotta see all that drama yourself.
Yeah. The second season revolves around, like, a new generation of kids, though. But, well, once again, there's a lot of bullies and a lot of dark subplots again. So, you got another girl being bullied, and she's, like, changing her whole identity to fit into, like, the norm, the standards. And then it ends up making her, like, kind of a worse person. She loses her best friend over it. And yeah, it's a lot of heavy bullying, I would say. So if you're not comfortable seeing that, I don't recommend it, because it does get really, like, it's very, it is majority based on bullying and the really negative effects it has on the girls. Yeah. Okay, the next one is on a completely different note. So, it's Station 19, and some of you may recognize it from the Grey's Anatomy spinoff, and it's based around a group of firefighters. So, as many know, Dr. Bailey, her husband, Ben, is a firefighter, and the station that he works at is Station 19. And so it's based around all of them and their daily work lives, similar to Grey's Anatomy, but we have all these new different characters, and it starts off with this girl who kind of wants a promotion. She wants to be promoted to another spot, and she's competing with somebody else, and it's for the position of captain, and then her best friend actually ends up getting instead, and so there's a bit of animosity around that. And then it has a lot of drama as well, I would say. Like, there's a lot of on the edge of your seat once again for this. Yeah, and it was produced in 2018.
Is there a lot of, like, crossovers of Grey's Anatomy? Because I remember seeing some on Grey's where they cross over with Station 19. But is that, like, a very common thing?
Not very common, but it happens a few times. Yeah. I like the crossovers, too. Because you get, like, the best of both worlds from the show.
I think for me, because I didn't watch Station 19, I remember I always got annoyed at these crossovers, so I didn't know the people. So that was kind of on me. But since I didn't know a lot of the people coming in, I was just annoyed. I was like, I don't care about these firefighters. I don't care about Bailey's husband. Like, get them off my screen.
Oh my gosh, I feel the same way whenever there's a show and then there's another show in the crossover that you didn't watch that's on the other show.
Yeah.
So you don't know what the context is, but you know what happened and they're talking about it.
You know, like the Flash,
yes, Arrow, exactly Supergirl. Wait, that's exactly
what Yeah. And you would have to watch, like, 3 different episodes of 3 different seasons of 3 different shows just to understand one crossover event.
Yeah, and if you're not watching them at the same time, it's really hard to. Even if you're, like, watching all of them separately, you still don't really know what's going on, so. But yeah, this show doesn't have too many crossovers to make you confused. And it's not as complex crossovers either. But yeah, I think this is a pretty nice show if you want a bit of drama. And if you like Grey's Anatomy too, there's a lot of familiar characters you get to see.
I think this next show, it kind of fits into mystery and drama and thrill. It's like a mix of the three. But it's The Society, which came out in 2019. And it has a really interesting premise. It basically, there's this, like, this class of high schoolers who are going on a trip somewhere. And then when their bus, like, goes to the location and then, like, comes back, they find out that everyone in their town has, like, disappeared. And there's, like, no way to leave the town without, you know, there's no way to really leave the town and survive. So these high school kids kind of have to band together and form their own little society. And they're trying to rebuild, like, different roles in society, different, obviously you have to have, like, you have to handle crime, you have to handle food, you have to handle, they have, like, a police system, but then they talked about how flawed that system is because you can't really control every single, like, injustice and whatever. And it was really interesting, and it definitely has you thinking.
That's really cool. I feel like that's kind of a bit psychological too, how you start off as a society too. Like, I guess kind of history repeating itself, the same rules.
Yes.
Exciting.
But I'm so annoyed. It got cancelled after being renewed for a second season. So it has one season and it ended on a cliffhanger.
Oh, I've always wanted to watch this, so I will be watching. It's going on my list.
That's good to hear.
And I guess now we can move on to our final category, which is thriller.
You're another time for you to shine.
I know, starting off with a 4-season show. It's called Lock and Key. I feel like some of you will recognize it because it was quite popular at its time, but now it's, like, really died out. And I think, I don't know about a new season coming out, but it was released in 2020, and it basically starts after this group of kids and their mom relocate to this house, their father's house, called the Key House, and you'll see why later on. So after their father was murdered by his own student, they relocate to this place, and so the kids are trying to adjust to the new move, and then they start noticing that there's a lot of different keys around the house. There's an anywhere key, which takes them wherever they want, and then there's a mirror key, which takes them to, like, a mirror dimension. And it's pretty cool. They have, like, all these different keys. So they're trying to figure out what the purpose of the keys is, and they're trying to collect them as well. But at the same time, there's this really creepy demonic force also trying to find the keys at the same time. So it's kind of a competitive race to see who can find the most keys at the time. And then, like, as the series progresses, you figure out why they're finding the keys in the first place, what the purpose of the keys is. And I would say I was pretty scared when I was watching the show. I expected it to be more, like, lighthearted for some reason, but it was not.
What is the rating? Like, PG-13?
I think either that or TV-14. Yeah. But I think this is a really cool show. There's a bunch of plot points that I like about it. So I would recommend it. Yeah.
I've always wanted to watch it, but I've never gotten into it.
You should.
Okay.
Yeah, you said that about everything, don't you?
Okay, and at least I finish serving shows. You just watch a bunch of shows and never finish any of them.
Well, it's always the same are you of us.
I don't think it's ever gonna die.
Anyways. The last show that I want to talk about is a show released in 2023, and it's called The Crowded Room. And this is starring Tom Holland. So some of you may be surprised because he was only in, I guess, more lighthearted family roles like Spider-Man before, but this is a pretty heavy thriller kind of plot, and it revolved around this, a true story actually, but it's about this man who was arrested for a lot of atrocious crimes that they claimed he committed, but he said that he didn't remember any of them. And so investigators are trying to figure out why this is. Like, is this man just lying to get out of prison, or is he actually telling the truth? And it turns out that he was actually the first man arrested with multiple personality disorder, or now it's known as dissociative identity disorder. But yeah, so my teacher actually recommended this show to us because I was in a SAC class, and then our teacher told us about it, so that's how I found out. And yeah, I think the show is really interesting because, like, based on a real life story, and I guess the story in the first place is pretty interesting. So he was pleading non-guilty based on insanity, and it's really fun seeing how the investigator is trying to figure out everything, and then it all piles up because at the time they didn't really know anything about the personality disorder, right? So they didn't know if the man was lying or if he was just trying to get out of prison.
Isn't Emmy Rossum his mom?
In the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know who Emmy Rossum plays? She plays Fionn Gallagher in Shameless, which is another show you haven't finished.
That was so called for. Well, neither have you, so.
No, I kind of did, like, technically.
Like, no.
I watched until season 6, and then I watched season 11. So,
but like, after skipping all those seasons, so that really does not count, you know?
But I know how it ends. It's not enough.
No, it's not. Anyone can know how it ends by searching up the Wikipedia plot, okay? But you need to watch the full series.
Okay, moving on. This is our list.
Yeah, so I feel like a lot of these shows, maybe they were talked about a bit in some communities if you're into watching shows, but they're not very mainstream, so I'm glad they're being brought more into attention.
I'm kind of afraid that some of these are really popular and we just didn't know, because I feel like Merlin was pretty popular.
Yeah, Merlin is,
right?
I think it's having a resurgence,
like,
on
was,
TikTok now.
Yeah, and I feel like wasn't Merlin always popular? I could be wrong, though.
Well, it did come out in an era when TikTok wasn't available.
Mm.
So I feel like if it did, it would have been really popular.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's not really, it's pretty well known, but only in some communities if you're into that kind of thing.
That makes me feel a bit better. I feel like I can say this stuff's a bit more niche now.
Yeah.
I feel like this would be really fun to do again. I feel like we have, as TV addicts, we have so much more stuff if we were ever to do a part 2.
Yeah, I feel like a part 2 is definitely possible. But I want to get to even more, I guess, niche shows, since I'm now realizing most of these shows I got into when I was younger.
Mm.
Or, like, a few years back, before I was, like, on TikTok a lot. I feel like TikTok is really, influencing my choices in TV.
Maybe there's, like, some sort of message here about the ending of individuality because of social media.
Like book talk, too, right?
Mm.
All those book recommendations and kind of get influenced. But, yeah.
I hope this list helped. some people, if they feel like us and they feel like they've seen everything. But, you know, there's always something out there.
Yeah, there's so many shows that I also want to watch, so. And a lot of these shows I haven't watched yet because some of them you recommended. Yeah. So.
You've given me such a good to-watch list just from this conversation.
Yeah, I hope you take that to heart and actually watch the shows, Sana.
Okay, that was a bit mean, but okay. Okay. This is the last one we'll film before school starts, so.
Yeah, we'll see us the next time when we're already in school.
Yes, see you in 3 days.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.